From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny.
Hello. How are you?
Adele, Beyonce, Daft Punk, and Bruno Mars will be among the star performers at this year's Grammys on Sunday, and we'll talk with our music critics about the nominees, including Bay Area locals like Fantastic Negrito, Francis England, Tycho, and Los Roccas. Join us after the news.
So
from KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Beyonce made waves when she announced she was expecting twins, but she might make news again if she brings home the Grammy for Album of the Year for Lemonade, her record-breaking album that tackles racism and feminism and had her smashing cars and stereotypes in her music videos. She'll go head-to-head with Adele, whose album 25 sold a million copies in 2 weeks alone, and we're going to talk about the Grammy nominees, which include some Bay Area locals, and play some songs in just a moment with the panel of music critics. First, I'd like to bring on Ken Ehrlich, who we go back to being in diapers together, I think, safe to say. Ken, good to have you with us.
Yeah, we don't need to talk about the diaper incident.
Ken Ehrlich, by the way, is executive producer of the Grammys, and we grew up together literally in Cleveland. He was in the same neighborhood as I was, and he started producing Grammy Award telecast for CBS back in 1980 and created the concept of Grammy Moments, and I'm glad to have him with us. And let's talk about this year's Grammys. You got, 84 categories, and you got all these different styles. It's kind of hard for people to keep up with it all.
Yeah, it's, you know, actually, strangely enough, that's a reduction in categories. There was a time not too long ago where there were 105 categories. Now, obviously, you know, we're pretty selective about what we put on the air, and we're kind of at a point now where we give out about 9 or 10 awards on the show, and the show, in all honesty, has become just a big-time concert, and, you know, over the course of 3 hours, you see pretty much everyone that's made impact in music in the past year, and then people who have had more impact over the years.
Well, let's talk about who's performing this year. And we ought to mention, by the way, that there are going to be tributes to George Michael and also to Prince. But the performances this year include a lot of headliners. Yeah,
it's great this year. It may be our best in terms of bookings, but it's not just about the bookings. It's what they're going to be doing. It's Adele. It's Keith Urban and Carrie Underwood together. It's Bruno Mars. It's Katy Perry. It's some of the signature duets that we do, Maren Morris and Alicia, this young country girl who's wonderful, duetting with Alicia Keys. And then yesterday we announced, speaking of the Bay Area, Metallica and Lady Gaga are going to be together, which we're very excited about, doing a Bee Gees tribute. It just goes on and on. We're also doing a tribute to Tribe Called Quest, which ought to be pretty amazing. And it's, you know, there's something for everyone over the course of the show. And as I said, awards.
You're going to have time to give away awards with all those presentations and performances?
We do. We figure out there is a way. And obviously, the awards are the premise of the show and they're very important. And the Grammy, you know, still stands for something. So it's, it is important. But obviously, again, probably, you know, most people tune the show in because they hope they're going to see things that they haven't seen anywhere else.
What do you think it stands for?
What do I think the Grammy stands for?
You said it still stands for something.
Well,
what is that something?
You know, it's kind of hard to run into. Whenever an artist is introduced, you know, they're almost inevitably introduced by the words Grammy winning. So it means something to, within the artist community, it means something. So, and to the public, you know, it's a peer voted award. So, you know, it's not the public doesn't vote for it. And, you know, I think we've been known over the years to be a little more eclectic and a little different with the awards process itself.
We're talking to Ken Ehrlich, executive producer of the Grammys. Some of the criticism has suggested that those who do vote are largely white and conservative, and they're voting for artists who do a very different kind of music than perhaps the world that they're exposed to. In fact, I was saying to some of my producers before I went on the air this morning, it's been hard, if not impossible, for me, a rock and roll kid, to keep up with hip-hop.
You know, that some of that criticism is valid, and I know the Academy has been very active in trying to expand the reach of the organization itself to enlarge the membership. And actually, over the years, it has. It is probably, honestly, a lot less white and conservative than it was 15 years ago. There was a major outreach. The organization grew from, don't hold me to this, but I think there were about 7,000 or 8,000 members, and now it's about 14. And a huge number of those, the new membership, represent younger voters, younger people involved in the industry, and with much greater diversity.
You do have some big changes, though. James Corden, a British actor, is going to be host as opposed to LL Cool J, who was host for a number of years. So that's a big change. And you've got also a change in submission rules, largely because of Chance the Rapper accommodating streaming tracks now.
Yeah, both of those things are really good. James is terrific. He's got a great sense of music. He's got a great feel. And what's great for us is, you know, his show features great artists, you know, in this carpool karaoke segment that he does, as well as on the show in general. So, you know, he's built relationships with a number of the artists that are on the show, and it only helps. On the other hand, LL was terrific for us, and for 5 years he did a pretty remarkable job. And there are two different styles. LL was not a comic, but he guided us through the show beautifully, and James will be funny and glib and musical.
Again, we're talking to Grammy executive producer Ken Ehrlich. Before I let you go, let me just get you on record about some of the criticism. You got Kanye and Drake and Justin Bieber, essentially, at least up to date, not participating. You got Frank Ocean, who's talking about, criticizing the infrastructure of the awarding system and the nomination system and the screening, saying it's all dated. You say what to that?
You know, I could go individual with each of them and give you either what you might consider a good reason or an excuse for why they're not going to be here. Drake took a gig long before the Grammy nominations came out. He was committed to doing the European tour, which he felt was more important than being here. Kanye's a wild card, always has been. He's had some of his greatest moments on television with us.
He may show up if you give an award to Taylor Swift.
He very well might. And by the way, just don't think that we're not waiting for a call. So Frank Ocean's a different story. I don't quite understand that, you know, he never entered this year. So, and it was only after the voting closed that he expressed this kind of, you know, an anti-Grammy sensibility. So, I don't know. I would love to think that we think more about the 20 acts or so that's doing, probably more, 40 acts that are performing on the show, and all the people that are nominated, you know, many of whom are going to walk away with Grammys that they are very proud of.
Ken Ehrlich, executive producer of the Grammys. Ken, thanks so much for joining us on Forum this
You
morning.
Bet, Michael. See you on Beechwood Avenue.
All right. And let me tell you who is joining us for the rest of the hour. We have Aydin Vaziri, here in studio with us, well-known music critic for the San Francisco Chronicle. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you.
And Emma Silvers, our own music editor for KQED Arts, former music editor for the SF Weekly. Good morning.
Good morning.
And let's say good morning also to David Katz Nelson, who is president of the San Francisco-based Birdman Recording Group and Heart Recordings. He's a Grammy-nominated producer and former A&R vice president at Warner Brothers Records. Welcome.
Thank you. Welcome.
And also a musical historian, as you'll find out in the course of our discussion here. Emma, let me begin with you, and let's begin by the sort of the thriller in Manila here, the big heavyweight duo going head-to-head, so to speak, seems to be, and a lot of people are caught on a lot of attention, Beyoncé and Adele. And let's say something about that. I mean, it is let me put it this way. I'll frame it as a question. How much of a rivalry really is operating here?
That's a good question. I mean, I think Beyoncé deserves it. I think Lemonade was a really, really groundbreaking album. Adele obviously sells a ton of records, is also a great singer. I think it honestly comes down to how safe the Grammy voters want to play it. And Ken just touched on this a bit, but historically, they play it pretty safe. Lemonade has a lot of politics on it. She references Black Lives Matter very clearly. You recall what happened just a year ago at the Super Bowl when her dancers were dressed like Black Panthers. People freaked out.
This Grammy could be very political. I mean, especially in the era of Trump, we could expect a lot of speeches probably.
Absolutely. And I have no doubt that CBS is thinking about that, that there are conversations happening right now about what to happen if a speech goes off the rails, what constitutes a speech going off the rails. I can't say how that affects voting, but Adele would certainly be a safer choice. She's sort of a Grammy favorite.
I'll hold on to our seats on that because, in fact, we're hearing a little bit of Adele here. Beyonce. I was thinking we're going to go to Adele in a moment here. This is from the album Lemonade. This is Hold Up. Let's actually bring it up a little bit, Danny.
Don't love you like I love you. Oh, don't love you like I love you. Something don't feel right, because it ain't right, especially coming up after midnight. I smell your secrets, and I'm not too perfect to ever feel this worthless. How did it come down to this, scrolling through your call list? I don't want to lose my pride, but I'ma f*** me up. Know that I kept it sexy, and know I kept it fun. There's something that I'm missing, maybe my head for one. Yeah.
Again, that's Hold Up by Beyonce from her album Lemonade, and since I announced it prematurely, let's hear a little bit of Hello by Adele.
How are you? It's so typical of me to talk about myself. I'm sorry. I hope that you will. Did you ever make it out of that town where nothing ever happened? It's no secret that the both of us are running out of time.
Well, let's hear from you, Idine, on this. I mean, this is a battle of two great singers.
It is. I think Beyonce did herself a disservice by making the album not easily accessible when it first came out. She released it through an HBO special, and then I think for a while it was only available on Tidal, and then it wasn't available on Spotify and a lot of streaming services where music fans go to these days. But it is the better album. The Adele album isn't even the best Adele album. It's quite boring, but she was everywhere this year, and
So boredom doesn't necessarily cast a shadow.
Adele has the advantage of crossing generations. She's 5-year-olds love her as much as grandmothers, and I think Beyonce has a more focused audience. So it's tough. Someone I expected to see in these categories was David Bowie.
Yeah.
Who?
Yeah, that's a big absence here, isn't it?
Because he passed away, but because his album was truly one of the best last year.
Well, he's been nominated, but not in the big four categories. Right?
That's right. Yeah. He's in the rock category.
And in fact, since you mentioned David Bowie, let's hear. This is probably, I was thinking about Lazarus, but this is probably better known. Let's hear Cut 5, Black Star, David Bowie.
In the villa of Amen, in the villa of Amen, stands a solitary candle.
Well, talking about, I was thinking you were talking about 5-year-olds and crossing that line to some extent, I suppose, in terms of fans would be Justin Bieber, although he's got some older listeners and fans as well. What do you make of his absence? I mean, he's trying to go through maybe a little bit of a redemptive narrative here.
That's the thing. He went completely off the rails and to see him come back and be in the big four categories, it's quite remarkable because he was a tween pop act, and he wasn't making music of substance for the longest time, and his redemption worked. Whatever he did, here he is alongside Adele and Beyonce in the Album of the Year category, and it's really surprising to see him there. There were a lot of other great albums that maybe could have taken that spot this year.
And again, Aydin Vaziri is music critic with The Chronicle, and Emma Silvers is music editor for KQED Arts. Can we talk with you before we get into some history with David Katznelson, Emma, about some of the locals here? I mean, a lot of talk about Fantastic Negrito. Actually, before we talk about him, let's hear Lost in a Crowd. He's an Oakland artist. Very unusual sound, and a really unusual story. I mean, this is a young man who grew up as a strict Muslim. I won't even attempt to pronounce his real name, Xavier. Can you say it, Emma?
I honestly shouldn't try. I'll embarrass myself. I can spell it at this point, I think.
I might be able to spell it, but I can't say it. Obviously influenced by Prince, you can hear that in this, and kind of androgynous, and also... when I say it's a fascinating narrative, his story, he was in a car crash and he kind of metamorphosed as a result of that.
Yeah, I don't know about the androgynous description, but he certainly has a really interesting story. He grew up in the East Bay, one of, I think, 11 or 12 kids in a strict Muslim family, taught himself to play a lot of instruments. I interviewed him once and he was telling me stories about sneaking into rehearsal spaces at UC Berkeley to practice. And then he tried to make a go of it in Hollywood. He put out a straight R&B album that didn't go very far. And then he got in a car accident and almost lost use of both his hands. Luckily regained use of his hands almost entirely. I think he still has like a steel.
No, he's a big star now, almost. They're on his way to it. Huh?
Yeah, he's known to a lot of people as the winner of the... inaugural NPR's Tiny Desk Concert Contest,
right.
The first one. And there was a lot of buzz about that. And then last year, this album, The Last Days of Oakland, came out, and he definitely lived up to the hype, in my opinion. It's nominated for Best Contemporary Blues Album, and it's a great record. It's also a really good live band if you get a chance to see them.
And I hope in the course of the hour we can hear about some other local talent. Oakland-based Panamanian artist Los Racas, nominated for Best Latin Rock Urban and Alternative Album, and San Francisco's Tycho album, Epic, nominated for Best Dance Electronic Album, Sunset District's Francis England for Children's Music, Explorer of the Great World, just touching on some of these, even Margaret Cho, who don't necessarily associate with San Francisco anymore to a great degree, but she was nominated as well in the Best Comedy Album category for her American Myth. And there's lots of history this year in the Grammys. We're going to go to David Katznelson for that. He's president of the San Francisco-based Birdman Recording Group. And David, you're really psyched about some of this historical stuff, aren't you?
Well, I mean, it's a category that has become very near and dear to me, and it's a great group of releases that are nominated this year. I think the top of the heap is the Dylan release that came out, the Bob Dylan release that kind of chronicles the mid-60s period where he went from really playing with kind of a ragtag group of musicians to playing with these amazing studio musicians. And you can kind of see the evolution in his style during that period of time. And for
those
of you...
mid-60s. This is Memphis mid-60s, Blues song.
This yeah. is Blonde on Blonde and yeah. Before. Rob Bowman, who is a musicologist at University of Toronto, would say that that it really also kind of chronicles a part of rock and roll coming to age, this period of Dylan's work, which makes it kind of kind of important.
So if he gets a Grammy, will he show up, or will it be like the Nobel Prize? What's the bet?
I almost feel like he cares more about the Grammys than he does about the he getting nominated for a Grammy is definitely not as dramatic for him as getting nominated for a Nobel. And there you go.
Coming of age, this is there's other things that we should touch on here. Music of Morocco, recorded back in 1959 by an author probably many of the listeners are familiar with. Used to read his stories and feel my hair stand on end, Paul Bowles.
So Paul lived in Morocco for a long period of time, and in a lot of ways, he was really one of the first non-professional musicologists. He brought a tape recorder with him, and he really loved the music of Morocco. Some of this music has come out before, but this was the first time that it was put together in a so comprehensively. And I listened to a lot of it because my wife was the designer of it. And so for the year and a half she put it together, we had it around the house all the time. And it's just – it's an incredible document of the of the types of musicians that were hanging out in Morocco and on the streets and things like that. And it's really terrific.
Yeah, I was listening to some of it, and it's worth listening to put it mildly, but also worth listening to, especially for many of our listeners who listen all the time to classical music and think, what is all this we're talking about here? Vladimir Horowitz, you've got unreleased live recordings between 1966 and 1983, part of the Grammys.
So I'll tell you something. That box set of Vladimir Horowitz is truly sensational if you're interested in this kind of music. None of it was released before. As you said, it chronicles a long period of his career. You see his evolution of as an artist, and I mean, he's one of the great pianists, and it just comes out. And if you want to fall in love with that kind of music, this is a great primer. It's a beautiful set.
And you are also a fan of Fantastic Negrito?
I love Fantastic Negrito. I think that, I mean, that track we heard is more rock than anything in the rock music category almost. But and it's stuck in blues. It's stuck in blues again. I think that he's one of those guys who has it, and it's just really nice to see somebody like that who's tried for so long to come up with not only an amazing record but a career that is just on the rise in his late 40s. Hey, all right.
Welcome. You've arrived. And by the way, if you just joined us, we're previewing the 2017 Grammys, talking about this year's Grammys nominations, and including some local artists like Fantastic Negrito. We'll hear from some more as we move along here. But we'd like to hear from you. If you have thoughts about the Grammys, who you'd like to see win, who you're behind, so to speak, or maybe some thoughts about what we heard earlier about those who are not attending and maybe the Grammys being old school, too old school, whatever. We'd like to hear from you. Our toll-free number is available. It's 866-733-6786. What are you excited about? What are you looking forward to? Any questions are welcome as well. Again, 866-733-6786, or email us, forum@kqed.org, or go to our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on the segment or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum. I'm Michael Krasny. Now Mona tried to help me. She said, stay away from the train line. She said, all the railroad men do is drink your blood like wine. And I said, oh, I don't know. But then again, there's only one I met. And he just spoke my... This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. And we're talking about the Grammy nominations and the Grammy Awards. There are, in fact, some local artists included in this and included in the discussion here. And we spoke earlier with executive producer of the Grammys, Ken Ehrlich. And with us, we have a trio of music critics, veteran music critics. It includes David Katznelson, president of the San Francisco-based Birdman Recording Group and Heart Recordings, and a Grammy-nominated producer. And also here in studio is Aydin Vaziri, who is music critic with the San Francisco Chronicle, and Emma Silvers, music editor with KQED Arts, former music editor for SF Weekly. And we do invite those of you listening to join us. You can do that toll-free at 866-733-6786 or email us, forum@kqed.org, or post any questions or comments you might have onto our website, kqed.org/forum, or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum. Here's a tweet from Lynn, who says, what most people don't realize is that classical music has the largest varied category, but artists are never in the telecast, which I should have asked Ken Ehrlich about, but it's true. You know, there are about 100, over 100 of the pre-telecast awards that are given in the Grammys. This is a question from Faye. Do Grammy judges factor in auto-tuning and production tricks that prop up the real voice? And what about an artist using featured co-singers that embellish the main act? Go to you on this, Ideen.
I think all that's irrelevant. I think they're judging on familiarity and popularity. This is a lot of music, so for anyone to sit there and fill out these nomination forms, I think they're just going straight for the things they know, and it doesn't matter. I don't think they're sitting there and looking at the details or the fine print on the credits.
Some of us do. Some of us do.
Yeah, I think David probably want to say something about that.
So, you know, the Grammys have actually done a really great job in the last couple of years to give an online resource to the voters. So you actually have the ability of listening to everything. There's definitely an issue with the fact, especially with some of the more obscure categories that usually house one name that everybody knows amongst the rest who are kind of newcomers, which is a problem. So that one name generally will have the best chance of winning because people just see the name. And, you know, in the reggae category, Ziggy Marley is nominated and our local band Revolution is also on there. But the probability is that Ziggy Marley has a better chance, even though people have never heard that record.
Up a comment. Let me get your responses, David. AJ writes, as a Bay Area performing musician and composer, a longstanding issue I have with the Grammys is that the award ceremony and the awards themselves continue to highlight artists who sell the most and have the highest level of exposure.
Well, I mean, it's true. And it's also true that there is a pre-award ceremony where they're giving away, is it 80 or 90 awards in the course of 2 or 3 hours?
It's about 100, actually.
It's like shotgun award giving. And there was a moment when I was there last where Neil Young was given an award, and it was the first Grammy that he had ever received. And they had to go to that next award, and he's running up from the back. I'm here, you know, to get the award. It's a completely different vibe than the telecasted performance.
Ultimately, it is a TV show, and they want the ratings, so
it's a concert.
Lady Gaga is going to get more viewers than Neil Young.
Let's bring on some of our callers. Gary, you're first up here. Good morning.
Good morning. Some of the small groups get overlooked. There's some wonderful groups out right now. Grimes, Art Angels, really should get a nod. The 1975, that's a great group. Kate Bush has a live album called Before the Dawn. The Japan Droids have a terrific album. Barry Gibb of the Bee Gees, great album. Norah Jones, Peter Frampton, the Acoustic Classics. This kind of music is really terrific, and it really doesn't get much of a nod. And it's tuneful, it's clever.
You just gave it a good nod, Gary. Thank you for that. Anybody else want to comment who's here in studio about perhaps what's particularly worthy of a nod that's maybe not getting the attention with the big names and all that?
It's hard because the Grammys do put the focus on what is most popular. I think that's the purpose they serve, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's sort of
Emma Silvers. Yeah.
Thanks. Sorry. It's sort of like a prom queen competition. Like you said, it is a TV show. I do think it's interesting, and David, we were talking about this a little bit before. I think if you want to figure out why the winners are who they are, you have to look at the voting process. And voting members are encouraged, from what I understand, to only vote in categories that they have some expertise in, but that's certainly not always the case. So, like you said, in a lot of situations, you know, people are voting for the one person in a category that they know, or someone that their kid likes, or someone that makes them feel safe. And despite what Ken said about the Recording Academy's attempt to diversify and bring in younger people, people of color, I think overwhelmingly it is still pretty much older white men. And that's how you get something like Macklemore winning Best Rap Album over Kendrick Lamar in 2014.
And yet this older man learns a great deal from many of these that are nominated. For example, I have to confess, I had no familiarity at all with The Weeknd. I know there's a lot of buzz about that. They set a record in terms of hits on, he set a record particularly, but he's going to be appearing with, and this is a big deal, isn't it, with Daft Punk at the Grammys?
Well, yeah. You clearly didn't watch 50 Shades of Grey. That's what that was his big breakthrough, the soundtrack.
Well, it wasn't nominated for a weekend. That is, I Feel It Coming, which we're going to hear in
right,
a moment.
It
was
yeah.
not nominated for a Grammy,
no.
but one of the most popular artists this year. And like I said, I'll be performing with the electronic duo Daft Punk. And let's hear a little bit of I Feel It Coming.
Tell me what you really like. Baby, I can take my time. We don't ever have to fight. Just take it step by step. I can see it in your eyes, 'cause they never tell me lies. I can feel that body shake and the heat between your legs. You've been scared of love and what it did to you. You don't have to run. I know what you've been through. Just a simple touch and it set you free. We don't have to rush when you're alone with me. I feel it coming. I feel it coming.
That's I Feel It Coming, The Weeknd, again featuring Daft Punk, and well, they walked away with triple platinum last year. Here's a listener who writes, my best friend Ricky Reed, a Bay Area artist, was nominated for Producer of the Year. Anybody know about Ricky Reed? Okay, there are a lot of local nominations. Just to mention a few more, 11-time Grammy Award winner Michael Tilson Thomas needs to be mentioned here. Director of the San Francisco Symphony, nominated again in the Best Orchestral Performance for the Symphony's recording of Bates' works for orchestra, and multi-platinum selling band Metallica was also nominated in the Best Rock Song category for Hardwired. You can lend your voice here to this discussion. Toll free at 866-733-6786. Here's Anita from Mountain View. Anita, welcome.
Hi. I'm going to take you off speakerphone here. I'd like to give a plug to John DeVersa Big Band, performed at Yoshi's a couple of weeks ago. His album, Kaleidoscope Eyes, he's done some arranging on some Beatles tunes. My favorite was Good Day Sunshine, and I hope he gets a prize for one of those songs.
All right, Anita, thank you. Nice plug from you. I want to get to some of these local artists. I mentioned Las Rocas. They're from Oakland. They're an Oakland band. Emma, tell us about them. We're going to hear a song in just a moment called Rock a Party, but
yeah. Los Racas is a duo of rappers. They're cousins, originally from Panama, but I think grew up mostly in Oakland. They've been around for a while, but this is their self-titled LP. It's up for Best Latin Rock Urban or Alternative, which is kind of a broad category. But yeah, they're really fun. We should listen to some.
And they're Panamanians originally, as you said. Let's hear Rock a Party.
Tú sabes cuál es la que es los racas en el área. De una la guial se desatan, las blancas, las negras, mulatas. Tú sabes, llegaron los racas, manes de plata sin saco y corbata. Sentía que estaba en Coachella con un par de nenas que estaban bien buenas. Entonces pusieron mi tema y estaba brincando con unas morenas. Salta que no te despegue.
And another local group, Las Rocas from Oakland, an Oakland band, Rock a Party. Jim writes, it's the 50th anniversary of the Beatles album, St. Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. The Grammy should recognize this great album, voted greatest album of all time by Rolling Stone. And a question from Rick, what live performances are your guests looking forward to? Want to weigh in here?
I can't wait to see what, I think I heard Ken correctly, he said that Lady Gaga and Metallica were going to do a tribute to the Bee Gees. Was that right?
Yeah, that's what he said. That's what I'm looking forward
okay.
to now.
Yeah, I think
you have to suspend your disbelief.
I think
with that
we
one.
Need to. We all are really looking forward to that.
I don't know if I'm looking forward to it per se.
Well, it's going to be a spectacle.
Be
yeah, especially after her. She has to top her Super Bowl performance now.
It's going to be hard to top. I
yeah.
Think.
Yeah.
In fact, the battles are going on about Super Bowl performances, and just like the battles we've been talking about between. Call them battles, you know, between Adele and Beyonce. But, you know, was Prince the greatest Super Bowl performer?
Yes.
Many quickly say yes.
Yeah.
But, you know, you've got Lady Gaga defenders,
sure.
too. You may hear from some of our listeners weighing in on this. But what let me go to our other two guests here in studio and find out, what are you looking forward to with the Grammys? David, Emma?
Well, I'm looking forward to the Prince tribute and seeing what that's all about. I think that the Grammys always pull some kind of surprise out. I will give them credit for a show that it does have surprises on it. So, you know, how that's going to look and feel and sound, I'm just looking forward to it.
All right, Emma, you may not be looking forward to Lady Gaga and Metallica. What are you looking forward
I'm
to?
I'm sure it'll be interesting. I'm really looking forward to Chance the Rapper. I think he's one of the most interesting stories at the Grammys this year. You know, they effectively changed the rules for him after his fans pushed for his album Coloring Book to get to be nominated.
This is the first time that's happened, by the way. I mean, the Academy has changed the rules. I think it's the first time ever.
Yeah. Previously, you had to have your music for sale commercially through an album. And Chance the Rapper is one of the most talented rappers working today. And he's
musicians,
absolutely. And he's refused to sign to a major label. And this is kind of a sign that you don't really need a label anymore. So I think it's, you know, it's good that the Academy is acknowledging that. And I'm looking forward to seeing what he does live, certainly.
I'd also like to acknowledge another local artist who is up for a Grammy, and that's Frances England. And as I said earlier, for children's music, maybe before we hear some of this, can you provide a context, Emma?
Yeah, sure. Frances England is a singer-songwriter who started making music professionally about 10 years ago. I think she was a librarian or working toward her master's in library science, something like that. And she first recorded music as part of a fundraiser for her son's school in 2007. 10 years later, she's up for the best children's music album. It's called Explorer of the World.
Explorer of the Great World.
Of the Great World, yeah. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
Yeah, and I think she's one of those, I think the people who tend to do well in this category are making music that parents can stand to listen to over and over again. So I think she's a great example of that.
And she was a librarian, and she, I think, is right here in San Francisco in the Sunset District. Let's hear.
Sometimes people, they look, they don't see. They hear without listening. They miss the beat. And I don't want to be the one to miss out. The one who's not looking at the world around, at the world around.
Needless to say, you'll be hearing more of R&B and hip-hop than that kind of music. In fact, there's a sense that maybe now that we have all this R&B and hip-hop and the Grammys, it's too little too late. What do you think? Emma, you're nodding your head yes?
I mean, I think you have to go back to Frank Ocean, who said, I pulled his quote because I don't want to misquote Frank Ocean. He didn't want to submit his albums, which were some of the best albums last year, in my opinion. His record Blonde was at the top of lots of critics' end-of-the-year lists. And he said he didn't want to submit them for nomination because, quote, that institution certainly has nostalgic importance. It just doesn't seem to be representing very well for people who come from where I come from and hold down what I hold down. And he went on to talk about the infrastructure of the system being dated.
Yeah, I quoted it to Ken Ehrlich. He's saying it's all dated, basically.
Yeah,
I'm not going to participate.
I think what you're hearing, he might be the first artist to say that in those words to the New York Times, but what you're hearing is the culmination of decades of resentment about the Recording Academy really under-recognizing black artists, young black artists, people like, you know, people that we think of as being at the top of their genres. Bob Marley never won a Grammy.
Well, Frank Ocean's been described as a Colin Kaepernick of music. Let's actually hear Frank Ocean.
Just like you, just like me. I don't play, I don't make time. But if you need dick, I got you, and I yell from the line. Go up for ASAP.
That's Nike's. That is nominated for a Grammy. That's Frank Ocean. Let's talk about the Grammys and the politicization that associated certainly in a strong way with the Academy Awards. It's been part of the Grammys. We've been talking about how much more political Beyoncé has become and speaking out and doing halftime shows. We're back to that again. What's the likelihood that well, I asked Ken Ehrlich earlier, the producer of the Grammys, and he seemed to indicate that there probably would be some speeches, particularly in this Donald Trump era that we're in with the new presidency and so forth. What are you anticipating, any of you?
Well, for one thing, I think it's hard to even care about any of this, considering all the things going on in the world at large at the moment. Yeah. Even as a music fan.
I can hear some of my listeners saying that, actually. Thank you.
As a music fan and critic, even for me, it's hard to care who wins Album of the Year this year, because I'm worried about what's going to happen to public education this year, and I'm worried about, you know, bigger picture stuff. And I think a lot of music fans feel that way, and a lot of musicians, creative people, I think this Donald Trump's politics really is going to affect them. And
but it's not going to be public education and Betsy DeVos. If it's going to enter into the picture, it's going to enter into immigration and sanctuary cities and those sorts of things.
All of that, I think.
And xenophobia, et cetera, yeah.
All of that, I think, is on musicians' minds. So I think we're going to hear a lot about it.
I think we're going to be seeing a lot of the people who are going to be carrying the flag of change and you know, pointing out all the problems that are going on in our world on the Grammy stage this weekend. Mm-hmm. And the silver lining of such a dark time that we're going through right now is the fact that the arts are generally what will come up and rebel and flourish. And I think that a lot of the people who are going to be there are going to be the people who are going to be instigating that.
And Emma, I know you know a good deal about Anderson .Paak. We've got a cut of theirs that we'll hear in just a moment called The Bird. But again, I'm going to ask you for some context here.
Sure. He's one of the most talented artists, I think, that's come up in the past.
And unusual.
Yeah.
I mean, the sound is, yeah.
Yeah. He's up for Best New Artist. And I think he might take it over Chance the Rapper. I think that they changed the rules for Chance the Rapper, but I don't know if they're happy about it or want to give him Best New Artist. And Anderson .Paak kind of falls into this category that I think Grammy voters appreciate, which is that he blends a lot of styles. There's hip-hop in there, but there's also R&B, funk. He's a really interesting songwriter. And his album Malibu is definitely on heavy rotation for me the past year.
And let's hear This Is the Bird.
A bird with a word came to me, the sweetness of a honeycomb tree. And now I look what's taking over me, couldn't fake it if I wanted to. I had to wake up just to make it through. I got my patience and I'm making do. I learned my lessons from the ancient roots. I choose to follow what the greatest do. A bird with a word came to me, the sweetness of a honeycomb tree. And now I look what's taking over me, couldn't fake it if I wanted to.
Yeah, I did kind of a soft song almost, really.
It's I like it, yeah. He's great. The Best New Artist category is really an odd one. I'm wondering if Anderson .Paak and Chance the Rapper are going to split the votes, and it's going to go to someone like the Chainsmokers, who had a lot of just really popular top 10 hits. I think they're currently the number one and number two song. They have the number one and number two song on the Hot 100, so it's interesting. But, you know, there's the Best New Artist curse, where you never hear from them again after they win that prize, right? They just completely disappear.
I want to read a comment from a listener named Bob here, and you can add your comments on our website, kqed.org/forum, or email us, forum@kqed.org. And just comment, by the way, I'm always conscious of the fact that when we do a program like this, and it comes back to what was said earlier, listeners are saying, you know, why aren't we talking about serious social issues and policy issues and the presidency and the cabinet and so forth? The reality is this has always been a program dedicated to the arts, and certainly in many of the second hours in entertainment. And listeners also welcome sometimes those pauses in, shall we say, things that are of less seriousness. I think Adine said it well. You know, nobody's really stressing that much about who's going to win a Grammy in the world we're living in now. But Here's Bob, who writes, all progressive types should herald the wildcard nominee Sturgill Simpson, a politically charged, highly talented paean to good old days of outlaw country. He combines the irony of Okie from Muskogee, the independence of Willie Nelson, and the deeper-than-you-think writing of Johnny Cash. This type of stuff is the bridge to narrowing the culture divide between middle America and us so-called out-of-touch coastal lefties. David, some thoughts from you?
Oh, he's great. And he deserves everything he gets. I mean, and what the...
Is he going to bring us together like that caller?
Well, I mean, I think it's going to take a lot more than that. But, you know, one step at a time, right? So I think that Sturgill is has now shown in his work that he does carry with him the history of country music in a very beautiful way. And he's kind of definitely bringing it to the future in a way that really hasn't been done for a long time, especially an artist that's rising into the pop space of country music. So
I mentioned Okie from Muskogee. That was a pretty political song. Is he political?
I don't think of him as a political artist per se. I think of him as somebody who really champions the type of music where he comes from. But he is somebody who brings, I mean, when Sturgill first came here, he was playing the Fillmore, I think it was, and the people who would not normally be, be attracted to that kind of music were swarming to see him. He does bring together a different groups of people who really like what he does. So for that reason, the caller is absolutely right. And maybe that next record of his will be his Times They Are Changing.
And I have to say, in the past few years, we've seen surprise winners in the Album of the Year category. We saw Bon Iver win. We saw Arcade Fire win. So I wouldn't be surprised if on Sunday night he came out over Adele and Beyonce and Justin Bieber and Drake in that big prize.
We haven't heard any of Justin Bieber. We do have a cut from him. He's not going to be there, I guess, unless he surprises people. He's absented himself. But this is Love Yourself.
For all the times that you rain on my parade, and all the clubs you get in using my name, you think you broke my heart, oh girl, for goodness sake. You think I'm crying on my own, well, I ain't. And I didn't want to write a song, 'cause I didn't want anyone thinking I still care or don't. But you still hit my phone up, and baby, I'll be moving on. And I think it should be something I don't want to hold back. Maybe you should know that my mama don't like you, and she likes everyone. And I never liked
I'm still seeing him in that suit in the Super Bowl, you know, wriggling around and doing all those moves and whatnot. Again, maybe a new image. How live are, this is Paul who wants to know, how live are the live performances that we're going to hear on Sunday?
I think they're live.
Yeah, they're live.
For the most part, 95%. There may be, you know, I think they're pretty much live, yeah.
There's some programming that goes along that kind of weaves the stuff together, but it's live, and they do a lot of, there's a lot that goes into the show before it airs because of it. And if you've ever been to the Grammys, it is definitely live.
Mm-hmm. And back to the historical with you just for the moment, if we can, David, there's, talk about Richard Hell on this.
I'll always talk about Richard Hell. There is an amazing box set that came out through the Numero Group called it's the Orc Records story. And Orc was a singles-only label out of New York in around the mid to late 70s. And Richard Hell of Richard Hell and the Voidoids, who had the amazing song Blank Generation, which kind of, in a way, kind of frames a whole generation. You know, that the original version is featured on the set, as is early songs by Television and, you know, post big star Alex Chilton. And, you know, the great thing about this box is that it really takes a picture of this great sound that came from New York in 77, 70, 78, 75, around there. And there's five records of it. So if you want to fill your house with that kind of stuff, it's the box for you.
Speaking about what's for you and everything, Radiohead is going to be featured in this Grammys, and I mention that because Radiohead once, believe it or not, had on one of their recordings some sound from the Forum program. That goes back a number of years, so I thought I'd maybe bring them into the mix here. And this is This is Dex Dark, which is up for award. Emma, you want to talk about it?
Yeah. A Moon-Shaped Pool was the Radiohead album that came out last year. It was dark and sweeping and not all that accessible, but it's a really beautiful record, and I'm glad to see that was acknowledged here.
This is Dex Dark, Radiohead.
We are helpless to
That's Radiohead, and here's Carol, who writes, I want to plug a favorite artist of mine that I'd love to see receive a Grammy some year soon. Langhorne Slim. Two commercials that featured his music were played during the Super Bowl, so he's known and appreciated within the industry. Are your guests familiar with him? He just spent a couple of weeks working on a new album near Stinson Beach, so while he's not from the Bay Area, you can see we have a connection. You know his stuff.
I'm not familiar, no.
Oh, that was a big smile. I thought that meant that you knew his stuff. I did. You're smiling because you didn't know his stuff.
That's a smile of don't pick me.
Yeah. All right, sorry about that. Shows how good I am at reading faces. Are you familiar with him, David?
No, appreciate that he's recording in the Bay Area.
Yeah,
I know of him, but not well enough to speak on it. I'll listen after this.
Well, thank you for all for being here and listening and giving us your own sense of the Grammys and what they mean and the music that we're hearing throughout this hour. Appreciate very much your being with us.
Thank you,
David Katznelson, Emma Silvers, and Aideen Bezrini. And we are going to be with you Monday through Friday, 9 to 11, hour repeated, and 10 to 11 in the evening. You can always let us know what you think about what you hear on Forum by emailing us forum@kqed.org.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation.